Julie.
Huh?
Guess what day it is. Julie.
Huh?
Julie.
Huh?
Guess what day it is.
Guess what day it is.
Guess what day it is.
Anybody?
Anybody?
Guess what day it is.
Guess what day it is.
Anybody?
Anybody?
Mike.
Huh?
What day is it, Mike?
Huh?
Woo-hoo! Mike.
Huh?
What day is it, Mike?
Huh?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
Leslie, guess what today is? Leslie, guess what today is? Leslie, guess what today is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Woo-hoo!
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Woo-hoo!
Uh-oh.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
Mike.
What day is it, Mike?
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Woo-hoo!
It's hump day.
Hump day!
Woo-hoo!
Happy Hump Day, San Rafael. You're listening to Penguin Radio only on radio.dominican.edu. This is Good Day from the Bay. I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe. We're giving you the news feeds, the entertainment sleets, and some sports leads.
Ruby Joe, I'm so happy to have you back.
I'm so happy to be back, finally.
I was really upset. I mean, guys, last week, if you were tuning in, you knew that dear old Ruby Joe was gone, and I was all by my lonesome and here to hold down the fort.
Yeah, well, last week, I had the longest trip ever. It went okay.
Yeah, Utah was good.
Yeah, our results weren't as good as we, you know, would have hoped for, but we flew out on Wednesday, got to Utah, then we went over to one of our teammates' barbecue at our grandparents' house.
Oh, very nice.
And then Friday, we flew out to Pasadena, went to a haunted house in Pasadena.
Pasadena, like California?
Pasadena, California.
What the heck?
Yeah, flew out, went to the scariest haunted house I would ever been to in my entire life.
You know what? We could probably incorporate that as a follow-up from last week, remember?
Yes.
Oh, should we tell our listeners what we were for Halloween?
Oh, you go first.
I was a vampire.
Oh.
It was a $10 costume. I got fake nails at CVS, and I filed them into nails and used denture glue.
Really?
And then I used Kool-Aid and vanilla frosting as blood.
Good job.
Very thrifty of me, I know.
I know.
What about you, Ruby Joe?
Well, I had to improvise in Pasadena, so I went as Iggy Azalea.
The first night. I love Iggy Iggs.
Yeah, and then I went as a kitty cat the next night.
Oh, you did your little cat dance?
Yeah, I did my little cat dance. Yeah.
Perfect.
Just making sure it went well.
Well, since no one told us what to wear, we chose our own costumes. I think they worked out pretty well.
Yeah, you know, I was the only Iggy in the haunted house, so.
Like real life.
I was like, be careful, you guys. I'm not the real Iggy, so don't come
up
and scream.
Get up off my space.
Yeah.
I got it. I feel it. Well, today we're going to start off with some news. Ruby Joe, do you got some news for us?
Yeah, I'm going to start off with some news from the Disney World.
Oh.
The embers from the fireworks at Magic Kingdom ignited a small fire at Disney World's last ride, the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, on Saturday night. The fire was quickly put out and no one was hurt, a Disney spokeswoman said. The nightly fireworks had just ended when the embers landed on the building outside the attraction around 10:30 at night, igniting the fire. Passengers on the ride were able to get off safely and no one was injured.
You know, stories like these make me not want to go to amusement parks.
Yeah.
They make me really nervous and I start to get like an acid reflux kind of feeling in the abdomen.
Well, I remember like whenever the fireworks are going, everyone just stays and just looks straight up at the sky where they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I just weave and dip in and out of people to get to like all the rides that are usually super packed. But yeah. Everyone's just in a trance over these fireworks.
Maybe it makes you think what they put in the water.
Right. Exactly.
Because I never buy water from Disneyland. That there's no reason you should pay $4 for a water.
Disneyland is so overpriced. It's ridiculous.
I know. You really have to save up for a lifetime to go.
Yeah, and the lines take so long that you don't even get to enjoy more than like 5 rides over a period of 7 hours.
The worst day at Disneyland I went when it was overpacked. Like they weren't letting anyone else in the park.
Wow.
The shortest line was like 112 minutes.
With the fast pass, probably.
Yeah, I was there for 6 hours, 7 hours, a good chunk of time. I got two rides in.
Wow.
I was so
at that point, I'd have been
mad.
Like, I'm out.
I left. I'm like, I'm over it. Two rides.
Yeah, it's not even worth it.
I didn't
want to
spend
anymore.
Money on food. I'm like, this is stupid. I was like, in that mindset, this is dumb.
This is dumb. I'm over it.
Well, I have something a little less daunting, but still frightening.
Okay, let's hear it.
So police went on this like undercover mission to look into like people breaking into cars in Baltimore. And late Saturday afternoon, Baltimore County Police Department officers responded to a call from Cockeysville about 20 miles north of Baltimore, where someone had broken into at least three vehicles. Officers identified a 16-year-old boy as the suspect responsible for the thefts from Otto, a news release states. When the boy was located and interviewed at his home in the Monkeen area, officers learned that he had planned to go to the Baltimore County Public Schools, George's Washington Carver Center for Arts and Technology, with two explosive devices and a gun, and that he wanted to, end quote, kill people. The teen showed officers a handgun and devices believed to be explosive, prompting officers to call the county's hazardous devices team. Police said the devices, which were made of readily available components, were rendered safe, and police also found tools and components that could be used to make more devices. The boy was sent for an emergency evaluation in a police statement released last week, and the suspect was originally charged as a juvenile, but that was subsequently changed to charged as an adult, police said. Sash Alexander Nemphos was charged with handgun possession, three counts of theft, possession of a destructive device, and possession of a dangerous weapon on school property.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That is scary. 16. All these shootings.
16 years old. And not even legal to vote.
Yeah, and even like forming his own weapons. Mm-hmm. That is so scary. That what does he even learn in school, you know?
Yeah, no, I have no idea. And it just makes you think, where are the parents?
Yeah.
Like how, like what are these readily or easily accessible components that could make a bomb?
And it's just, you know.
And how do your parents not know you're making bombs?
And then why would go tell everyone else?
At 16, too. Yeah. I mean, there's obviously something not all there in the head. So props to the police.
Those video games, I'm telling you. They're getting more and more real.
They're scary. They have like a new one that's like Game of Thrones. It's like House of Cards and like Call of Duty in one. And it's like really graphic. My brother's all like hyped up on it. I'm like, dude, chill.
No. I was watching a commercial for it and I thought it was a movie. It looks so real.
Yeah, it's so weird. I don't like it at all.
Technology these days.
Exactly. Okay, got something for me?
I have another sad news story for you. It's kind of a, you know, a little depressing. Yeah, it's a little depressing. So on Sunday, three children were buried because they were kidnapped on their way to visit their father in Mexico. So they were buried 5 miles just outside the Texas border, and they were kidnapped and killed, says Texan's state attorney. And the officer said each gunshot was wound to the head.
Oh, do they know who killed the kids?
There was actually a fourth victim also, but it was the boyfriend of the mom. She also died.
Do they think it was the dad?
No, they don't. So they are currently under investigation right now, finding the killer.
Oh my gosh, that is absolutely horrible. The death of a child is just it's giving me goosebumps.
Three children.
Chicken skin. Oh my gosh. Well, hopefully they'll find that sick yeah. person. That's absolutely wrong. I have something a little similar along the lines. Remember Natalie Holloway? That teenager who disappeared in 2005 in Aruba?
Yes.
Okay, well, her alleged killer / kidnapper, Jordan Van Sloop, was convicted in 2012 for robbing and killing Stephanie Flores. That's what initially put him in prison, not the Natalie Holloway thing. But he has been notoriously linked to her, the American Natalie Holloway, who vanished in Aruba in 2005, as I've said. Jordan Vandersloot's wife, he has gotten married while in prison. His wife says her husband was seriously injured in a stabbing at the Peruvian prison where he is serving time for murder. But a top prison official is calling her account an outright lie. Lady Figueroa is a Dutch convict's wife. The RTL, a news group in the Netherlands that is also a CNN affiliate, said that Vandersloot was stabbed twice. She further claimed that after visiting him Sunday at Chapala Prison in Puno Province near the Bolivian border, where he is serving a 28-year sentence, she smuggled his bloody polo shirt out of the facility. Vandersloot was stabbed in the shoulder and waist, and both wounds were about 2 centimeters, 3/4 of an inch deep.
Wow.
I hope he got stabbed.
Oh my.
I mean, I honestly think if he got caught with Stephanie Flores as robbing and killing, why wouldn't he have done the same to Natalie Holloway?
Yeah, exactly.
A cute, like, Caucasian, middle-class American. Like, and her, she's gone. I just, I don't know. or even I think he's guilty. I'm just gonna go out there and go on a whim and say he's guilty. Yeah, and
this week there's, you know, been a lot of these killing stories. Now
they're really like daunting. I was watching this TV show on Netflix, and it was like crimes of the century, and one of them was this mom in like the Midwest who killed all five of her kids. She drowned them in the bathtub because it was God's will.
No.
Mm-hmm.
That killed, sounds like that movie.
Killed everyone. They ranged from 5 to like 2 months.
That's so sad.
It was sick. And the husband was like, oh, I'm really sad. But he moved. He got married. Yeah. Moved on. Divorced her. And they think it was part of like a postpartum
depression,
like psychosis. Kind of thing. Yeah. Like it got worse as the kids went on.
Yeah.
And I was like, geez, OP. It's like,
it's scary how like your mental state of mind can completely change and just one day alter, and you're like, oh, I'm just gonna do this, and you don't even like it, doesn't faze you or anything. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Yep, it's scary. But that wraps up that. I mean, do you have another
death
what's story. The preface of this one?
I mean, I can talk about one more death story, or we can, you know, change the route and go to a little
How
happier.
Are you feeling? Do you think you could report another?
I can go report for another. All right, so an Indian father invited to dinner a man he believed raped his 14-year-old daughter, and then he tortured and killed him, police told CNN on Tuesday. The 36-year-old father, Vindo Kumar, turned himself into the police in New Delhi the following day and told them he had buried the other man's genitals along with hot tongs before strangling him to death. Kumar told police that the dead man had raped his daughter 2 months ago, but he didn't report it at the time because he said he feared it would tarnish his family's honor. Instead, he invited the man, a medical supplier who lived in the same neighborhood, to dinner at his home on Friday, serving him food and drug-laced soft drinks. He then gagged the 45-year-old man with a bedsheet and carried him out, the torture, and then strangling him.
That is, that's kind of in that gray area of, is that right or wrong?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's his kid, and he had a reason.
But he just went but and that, tortured
that
and
is very
that's an
malicious
extremist.
And that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was interesting.
I have, on brighter news, though.
On brighter news.
It's kind of a funny story, actually. Mm-hmm. It's kind of scary, but this guy's literally, I quote, an idiot.
Oh,
I'm
no.
telling you. An Australian man who surfed a floating whale carcass was surrounded by sharks. He was admitted that he was an idiot, and he acted foolish. Over the weekend, Harrison Wilson Williams, 26-year-old, was boating on an excursion with friends off the western coast of Australia over the weekend when they came across a dead whale. So the dead whale was just floating in the ocean. So he jumped out of the boat, swims over to the whale carcass, stands on top of it, and was like, oh, I'm surfing the whale carcass, as there's sharks eating. Swam past the sharks. He said, oh, it's fine because the sharks are too engaged in this whale. Yeah, so he swam past the sharks and went.
He's climbing up next to Jaws going.
Yeah, climbs up this whale, this giant whale, and he's on top like surfing it like, oh, I'm so funny, I'm so cool. Like they have actual footage and videos and everything.
What happened if he would have like jumped out and a shark was swimming on his way and was like, oh, a piece of whale fell?
Exactly. He said that it was a foolish act and he would never do it again. But still, why did you ever do that in the first place?
Why would anybody he was out with let him do that?
Yeah, he just literally jumped off the boat.
I'd have bumped him on the head and been like, no, not
Excuse
today.
Excuse me, no. You stay on the boat.
Hands, arms, and legs in
inside
the boat,
at all times. Yes.
All right, I'm glad we feel the same about that. Well, I'm sure you got some better news about health. Less stupid and sad.
Yeah. It was, you know, what can you do?
People are idiots. But people like that make people like us like really cool.
Yeah, and like then we have like an entertainment story to talk about as well.
True. We kind of combined a little bit of everything. We put a little bit of health in there.
Got the best of both worlds.
Yeah, everything. And it's a sport.
It is kind of a sport.
Surfing.
Yeah,
and swimming.
Surfing and swimming on top of dead whales.
Whale. Yeah. Perfect.
Perfect.
All right, on to health.
On to health. All right, so 1 in 7 suffer from sleep drunkenness.
Oh, no.
Have you ever answered the phone in the morning, discovered it was actually your alarm clock?
Yep.
Yep. Or had a conversation in the middle of the night and woken up the next day with no recollection of it?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, a new study suggests you're not alone. Oh. Researchers found many of us have had similar experiences in our lifetime. the study, on Monday, the Journal of Neurology says one in every seven people study from sleep drunkenness, a disordered, also called confusion arousal. Confusion arousal is when a person wakes up and remains in a confused state for a certain amount of time. These episodes typically happen, according to the National Institute of Health, when someone is awakened during a non-rapid eye movement, REM, sleep, which is the deeper sleep period, and they usually trigger by a focused awakening, like an alarm clock or a cell phone. The study's authors had more than 19,000 adults fill out a survey about their sleeping habits and found that 15.2% of the participants experienced one episode of confusion arousal in the past year. And during the period of time before going back to sleep or fully waking up. So I'm one in seven. I know I am.
I think I'm ill with it too.
I'm ill with it. Yeah.
I'm ill with it.
I'm ill with it.
Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah, it really does. Oh, I do that all the time.
Teacher, I'm sick from my drunk illness.
From my
drunken sleep.
My sleep drunkenness.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah. So I can't come to class today because, you know, my sleep drunkenness kept me up. And so I don't really remember what
happened. I'm drunk on sleep. I can't function.
It's funny because that's actually a study. So that's cool. And
it's a good excuse.
Yeah, it's a good excuse.
I'll add that one to my list of excuses.
Yeah. So why didn't you come to class?
Sleep drunk.
I wasn't actually drunk. I was drunk off of my sleep. So
I'm all messed up.
Crazy. Crazy. All right. Next little health for you. Why laughing is healthy.
Oh, I heard that. I hope it's a good one.
That. Ready? A study presented at last year's Experimental Biology Conference finds that when people laugh, their brains are active in the same way when people are mindfully meditating.
Interesting.
So you're in the same mind.
So you're meditating when you're like,
You're meditating, you're calming your mind. The study from researchers at Loma Linda University measured the brain activity of 31 people when they watched a funny video and again when they watched a stressful video. Researchers measured the activity in 9 parts of the brain. What they noted was during the funny videos, the viewers actually activated their entire brains with the high gamma wave activity as measured by electronics or the EEG. EEG measures the electrical activity along the scalp. The electrical activity translates to neuroactivity, and the lead researcher, Dr. Lee Burke, gamma wave activity is associated with increased dopamine levels and putting the brain's cognitive state at its most alert level.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
So just keep on laughing.
Keep on laughing. It's good for your brain.
Tell your parents, tell your family, tell your friends. Keep laughing because we told you to.
Keep laughing because I said so.
It ain't over until you start laughing.
Really, though.
And guys, all right,
I got one more for you.
One more for you. Give it to us.
Childhood mental health disabilities on the rise. Yeah. Over the past half century, the prevalence of childhood disabilities in the United States has been on the rise, possibly due to the increased awareness about these issues. Now, a study published in this week's online issue of Pediatrics suggests that the nature of those newly diagnosed disabilities is changing. The report, Changing Trends of Childhood Disabilities 2001 to 2011, found that the number of American children with disabilities rose from 16% over the past 10-year period. While there was a noted discipline of physical problems, there was also a large increase in disabilities classified as neurodevelopmental conditions or mental health issues such as ADHD and autism.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the more research we know about all the mental health disabilities, is the more people are on the rise.
Interesting, because more people are more open and willing to share about it. That's enlightening.
Yeah. Ruby Joe, like, very enlightening. 10 years ago, that people wouldn't be diagnosed with these ADHD. And
they would have said there's something wrong with
them. Yeah. They would just say something's wrong with them. Exactly. And now people know what the true problem is.
Now look where we are. Well, very good news. That wraps up your segment?
That wraps up my health segment.
Alrighty then, Lynn. We're going to cut to a very brief commercial break. You're listening to Good Day from the Bay, only on radio.dominican.edu. I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe.
And we'll be right back.
Do you like drugs? This is another Bosco break. If you're going to have someone ship you a package of cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamine via FedEx, make sure the sender has the correct address. Three Houston residents are likely cursing the person who mislabeled just such a package after it arrived at the wrong residence and the owner alerted the police, the Houston Chronicle reports. A tip directed cops to a nearby house where they say they found Michael Taylor, Stephanie Adams, and Leslie Peck holed up with $100,000 worth of drugs and a weapons arsenal, as well as Adams' 5-year-old kid who was reportedly napping while mom did meth in the next room. In addition to the drugs in the package, they also say they found LSD, hashish, pain pills, steroids, morphine, codeine, and even prescription cancer medications. Oh, and also a bunch of shotguns, handguns, and a semi-automatic rifle. The three were arrested on drug and weapons charges and currently have a new address, the Harris County Jail. As for other drug news, San Miguel de Allende is a sleepy artist enclave nestled in the mountains of central Mexico, equally popular with the artists and retired Americans. But the city jolted awake yesterday as federal special forces swept into a seafood restaurant and nabbed one of the nation's most notorious drug lords, Hector Beltran Leyva, who had apparently been hiding in plain sight in nearby Querétaro. The honcho of the eponymous Beltran Leyva cartel had been posing as a dealer of not drugs, but rather art and real estate, says a rep with the Mexican AG's office, and was living a low-key lifestyle, avoiding attracting the attention of neighbors, friends, or the authorities. Beltran Leyva is the fourth of his brothers to fall, notes the AP. Two others are currently cooling their heels behind bars, while another was killed in 2009, when Beltran Leyva took over leadership of the cartel. Obviously, this is not the Beltran Leyva's organization in its strongest moment, says a Mexican security expert, but it continues to be a criminal organization capable of generating localized violence in some states. Beltran Leyva's head carries a $5 million bounty stateside and a $2.2 million bounty in Mexico. As opposed to the capture of Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, dubbed the world's most powerful drug lord, Leyva's capture is the latest in a string of coups for Mexican authorities. That's all for your Bosco break. Back to the show.
And we are back. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is Good Day from the Bay. My name is Ruby Joe.
And I'm Harper Clementine.
And we are coming back with our entertainment and our tech segment coming right up for you.
Oh, where are we going?
Yeah, you want to go?
Yeah, we're going. Yeah. So coming up in entertainment, I have a story about Chris Brown, Adrian Belone, and Tamar Braxton. There's a little drama feud going on between the three. Can you guess what it could be?
No, I can't. What is it?
So apparently, Adrian Belone and Tamar Braxton are TV chat hosts with a show called The Real. And all of it got started when Belone and Braxton spoke about Chris Brown and his now on and off girlfriend, Karrueche Tran's relationship. Brown slammed the two immediately following their TV chat in several lengthy posts on Instagram, but has since gained some perspective over his war of words. So basically, he said a lot of bad words, which I cannot really repeat. Said a lot of bad words because Belone and Braxton were saying that Karrueche Tran is just kind of a puppet and they have a bad relationship and they're not good for each other.
Just, crap talking, basically.
And a more clean edited version of what Chris Brown was saying, he went to say, "Yesterday's roast was amusing to some and disrespectful to others. All in all, the whole blank was childish. continued on to going to say that he's not apologizing. He's simply reflecting, live your life, peace out, y'all.
Oh.
Yes.
So he's just like justifying the fact that he said
that,
basically.
He didn't want to apologize and look like a little wiener for being wrong, but he also like knew he was wrong.
Yeah.
So later that night, the rapper's on and off again girlfriend, Karrueche Tran, took to Instagram to add her 2 cents to the mix and reposted a message on his social media page saying, quote, unlike most of you, I could care less about the opinions of others. Drama doesn't amuse me, so yes, at Tamara Braxton, I do have a voice, just not like yours. However, my boyfriend and I can't, I cannot speak for, end quote.
Oh.
So there's a little lashing out here and there. Rob Kardashian supposedly supports Chris Brown against Adrian Bolone because they had a messy breakup once upon a time ago. So the whole thing is a continuing ongoing feud. I'm sure next week we'll have the wrap up of it all.
Yeah, next week there'll be a different argument probably.
Mm-hmm. And Adrian Bolone even went on to Twitter to say basically that she is no one hit wonder. She had a multi-platinum girl band and she had Barbies made after her. It's all kind of petty. It's
wow,
really,
that's a really good comeback.
I have no respect for really anyone in this situation because they're all acting like they're five.
Yes.
Well, I had a Barbie made after me.
Yeah, so I am better than you.
Oh my God, I had a multi-platinum cheetah girl band.
Cheetah
cool.
girl, cheetah sisters.
Yeah, cool.
My sister went for that for Halloween, by the way.
Did she really?
Yeah, a little added.
Oh, that's so funny. But moving into something actually even funnier, Jimmy Kimmel did his annual I Told My Kids I Ate All Their Halloween Candy special.
Oh,
Ruby Joe
every
and
year.
I,
doesn't this happen every year?
Yeah, Ruby Joe and I got a hold of the footage and we are going to let you take a listen and we will be commentating throughout the video to just kind of narrate what exactly is going on. So here we are.
Let you know what we see.
Here we are with I Told My Kids I Ate All Their Halloween Candy on Jimmy Kimmel.
It's time now for our beloved holiday tradition. Hey, Jimmy Kimmel, I told my kids I ate all their Halloween candy.
Last night, we ate all your candy.
Why?
Because it was good.
You ruined my life!
Yeah, we ate it all while you were sleeping.
Little girl sitting on the bed.
No! Now she's just looking up at the sky.
Yes.
In pain. And kicking her legs.
Oh, man. I'm going to eat it all.
Little boy looking into his little basket.
Jimmy Kimmel said I should eat all your candy.
And the dad is just grabbing all the candy right from the kid.
Yeah, I'm going to eat it. Okay, this is for me.
Oh, let's see.
Jimmy Kimmel said I should eat this, too. Okay.
He's so hopeless.
All of it?
All of it.
He's very confused.
Every single bite?
Yeah.
You must have a bellyache.
The logical kid.
Oh, yeah.
He got hungry last night.
Eat an apple!
We got Sass Queen over here
rolling her eyes.
Daddy and I ate all
Demon Child.
Of candy.
Oh my gosh.
She grabbed a plate, threw it off the table. This girl's knocking stuff off the tables and breaking chairs.
She looks like she can be from Paranormal Activity too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there goes the chair. Well, there goes her dinner.
Oh, and the dinner plate.
Little boy searching through all the drawers. Doesn't believe his mom.
Opening all the drawers. Every single drawer.
Those aren't real drawers, buddy.
Those aren't real drawers.
Get out.
Kids on the floor.
He's in pain. He's in a lot of pain. And he ran.
We ate all the candy.
Doesn't believe
we'll get
it.
Some more next time.
Oh.
I ate all your candy.
He looks so confused.
Like,
that's okay.
Oh.
Please talk to me for the rest of my life.
Two teenagers look like crying.
I need something else.
Why did you eat something else?
Hey.
Stop fighting. Shut up.
Oh. No, it's a little boy, everyone.
I'm just joking. Okay?
Like 12 years old.
Excuse me.
That boy needs to learn some manners.
I told you. You can never, ever, ever listen about candy.
Candy's the real subject.
Kid's hitting his head on the bed.
Are you mad at me?
And now he's...
The whole entire bag?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's
It's fine. Fine. Putting his hand up. It's fine. It's gonna be fine.
Like there's
he's
no like
he's
left.
Gonna hyperventilate.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's gonna be fine, everyone. It's fine. It's gonna be fine.
Oh, gives his mom a hug.
Kids, oh. I got something to tell you.
What?
Mommy and daddy ate all your Halloween candy last
Oh.
It was the funniest thing I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
Why that kid knows those words is a mystery.
You're telling me. I got a good laugh out of it, and I thought you guys would too, so I thought it was important to share with all of you, especially you, Ruby Joe.
That got me a good laugh. You know, that is healthy for you.
It
watching
is healthy.
A funny video and laughing.
And it's so funny because, like Jimmy Kimmel says earlier, for these kids, it's the first time they've ever earned something.
Yeah. Like, the first time these kids have ever earned
something.
It's
a very emotional thing.
They go door to door asking for candy.
They
dress up. They ask for this candy. They say trick or treat. And then they wake up the next morning and it's
gone.
All gone.
All that hard work. All those blocks walked for nothing.
Yeah.
Really funny. But moving on into another story. Have you ever taken the subway before?
Yes, I have.
And have you ever encountered a passenger who just can't stop talking?
I've only taken it once in my life, so that hasn't happened to me, but...
I thought you just said you took a subway.
I have once.
Oh.
But I haven't sat next to an annoying passenger.
Oh, okay. Well, whether it's gabbing about politics, the Bible, or another important cause, these loud travelers voice their opinions for all to hear. While many of us go about our business and try to desperately tune them out, Orange is the New Black star Leah Big Boo Delaria decided to stand up to one preacher for his overbearing views on religion. She, quote, said, "Sir, you're part of the reason America is in trouble." She yelled to an unidentified male carrying a Bible in a Gothamist video clip going viral. Quote, "Religious fanatics are the reason America is in trouble." Proudly wearing a Bad Jew t-shirt and God Hates Bags tote, Delaria, again, Big Boo from the popular Netflix series, didn't end the confrontation there. She went on to say, "Please stop. I'm not going to let you do that, sir." She said while riding the M train in New York City, "Eventually you're going to get off this train and I'm going to ride peacefully all the way to Queens unless you're going to Queens with me. In that case, we're talking the whole hour." Many onlookers remained quiet during the conversation, with one female passenger videotaping the whole thing. Some riders, however, joined the actress when she busted out into song singing 99 bottles of beer on the wall in hopes of silencing the preacher. Not exactly sure how the subway ride ended, however, many fans of Delaria started to show their support for her on social media.
Wow.
It was a very ballsy thing, let me say.
It could have went either way. It could have gone either way.
And it was just, I think it was that added thing. I mean, Delaria was repping. She was wearing a shirt that literally said, quote, "Bad Jew."
Yeah.
And had a shirt that said, "God Hates Bags."
Wow.
She was very loud, very proud, and I love that she voiced her opinion and didn't let this overbearing preacher kind of just down on everyone's parade, you know?
Yeah. Good for her.
No one wants to listen to an extremist, but moving on into technology, we got some tech news. That sounded like a seal.
I know. I don't know.
I don't know. Who am I?
Like a...
When you leave, I get out of tune.
It's okay. I'm back.
I'm sick.
It's going to be fine.
I'm sleep drunk.
You're sleep drunk.
Anyway.
It's going to be fine.
Get how creepy this is, Ruby Joe. There are toys, not just toys, soft toys with a Facebook logo and the Twitter bird. And guess where they go?
Where?
On a baby's crib.
You put it in the crib.
You put them on a mobile. There is a mobile, the thing that spins in a circle above and sings a song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're decorated with Facebook logos and Twitter birds. And the objective is when a baby reaches out to it, the device will quickly take a video, Snapchat, or snapshot or video or whatever and automatically post it on social media accounts. Newborn Fame was a graduation project at the Department of Man and Communication at Edenhive Design Academy, and it immediately sparked a flood of reactions. But like many other concepts, this toy is still wanted and being hoped to be put on the market. It's a commercial product, and it is now being redesigned into a prototype that will send the images and videos directly to a parent's mobile phones rather than social media.
Yeah.
Because people were
social media is a little skeptical about that.
It's a concept that people and creators are a little bit more comfortable with, because I think what scared most parents especially was the idea that
their kid will be just social media.
Because think of how many times a baby reaches for the sky.
Yeah.
That's so many pictures on Facebook, and it's like... your baby's in a crib till they're what, two?
Yeah, and that's also it goes to the social media site, and so the person, anyone who has Facebook, if your Facebook isn't blocked, always knows where the baby is.
And I don't really like that either, because it's like this baby's posting things without even knowing what it's doing.
Yeah.
It's not their fault that they're like reaching around. They should have the freedom to reach without having their pictures plastered everywhere.
Yeah, every motion and that they do.
It takes away the innocence of them as a child.
And I don't know how I feel about like the Twitter logo and the Facebook logo
like
on there.
Like training them so young.
Training them so young.
I didn't like it at all. So it's being kind of edited around. Hopefully they'll change the logos to something more child friendly. But cross your fingers that it goes to parents' phones instead of social media. Because I am that person who hates it when people post about their kids all the freaking time.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
You know, one every few days is fine. But like every single motion that baby makes, I don't think so.
So if you didn't like that, I don't think you'll like this. Moving from toddlers in their cribs to adults in their beds. Another technological advancement has gone to monitor your sleep. The makers of Mario Kart want to monitor your sleep and then help improve it. Nintendo has unveiled new details about a QOL platform, which stands for quality of life, and includes a line of health-focused devices. The first will be bedside sensors that track your sleep, send the data up into the cloud for analysis, and produce suggestions to help you get more rest. The question is whether people will actually turn to the company known for Game Boy to help them sleep better. Nintendo says it has consulted with experts in sleep and fatigue, and the QOL sleep sensor includes technology from the medical firm ResMed.
Wow. I don't know. You know, it'd be weird,
right?
Kind of cool to like figure out like your sleeping patterns and all of that
but
fun
like from
stuff.
From the makers of Nintendo?
That's the only sketch part that
like,
I think.
It's not like it's some health people. It's like the people who invented Mario Kart.
But then again, like the people who invented like Wii, they do like Wii Fit. So
yeah,
it could go either way. I don't think I would get one of those personally. I think if they made something that like monitored your dreams, I'd be like, I'm all over that.
I'm on that.
I'm all over that.
I need help on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of mixed. I think it's a 50-50.
I don't think I would spend money on.
I'm not going to be the first one trying it.
Yeah, knowing, you know, how to sleep. I can learn that on my own, like go to bed early
or take
wake
melatonin.
Up. Yeah.
Something natural, you know?
Just knock out.
Well, and it's probably a cheaper option taking melatonin than buying whatever this device is.
That's going to tell you basically to sleep more. That's all it's going to do.
Oh, and in other news, dear old Harper Clementine, aka me, finally got an iPhone 6.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I don't know if it's really ooh yet, but it
doesn't break day one.
It doesn't break. Hasn't, well, knock on wood, hasn't broken yet. I'm going to just say this. I just had an iPhone 4S. I loved my 4S. I would still have my 4S. However, my battery is shot and my poor phone cannot hold a charge for longer than an hour. And
that's a big problem.
And my day-to-day life with emails and text messages and all that great stuff.
Because she's just so popular.
I'm so popular, or I'm just so wanted by everyone I don't want to be wanted by.
All those social
teachers,
media.
Or teachers. Or professors teachers. And bosses. Yeah. Besides the point. So my phone shot, had to get this new iPhone, and basically the cost for my iPhone 6 compared to what I would have had to get with an iPhone 5, like Apple Pay and all, it basically was like a $20 difference. It would have...
That's it?
Well, no, it had been like... It was still expensive, but $20, I could have gotten a 6. $20 less, I would have been with a 5.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, so that's like, not that big of a difference.
No, not a big difference
Might
at all.
Might as well go for the full upgrade.
Exactly. So here I am with the 6, and the thing that kind of alarmed me most was this finger sensor, because we all know the prehistoric 4S did not have a finger sensor, and today they were having me log my thumb into it, and it was the weirdest feeling. I was telling Ruby Joe earlier, as I was doing it, I had to do like multiple times at different angles, it was buzzing my finger, and my finger felt numb after.
Yeah, well, now your phone has your fingerprint.
So I have like radio waves in it.
Yeah, it's dedicated only to you, and it's a sensor.
I'm a robo-bot.
Yeah.
Robo-thumbs
over
here.
You're censored now.
But it is very nice, I must say. It does look quite clear, and I am blind as a bat.
It is beautiful.
It'll definitely
staring
help.
Staring at it from afar.
Staring at it. Yeah, it's
another year or two before I get it, that's for
it's
sure.
It's definitely interesting. It's definitely big. I always joke that my little 4S needed to go on a diet.
And now
it has. It's just peacefully laying dead.
However,
literally.
It's a little on the big side. It didn't even fit into your driving console.
It is really big. And that's what I don't know if I like about it either, because I'm scared I'm going to drop it because it doesn't fit in my hand really.
Or your pants. Does it fit in your pants?
Well,
you
I never put it in my pants. Because I feel like it would crack. Remember what we read about the pluses? Even though the pluses are bigger, I mean,
they bend.
I'd be scared it would bend. But I know I saw the plus too, And I was already kind of nervous getting the six. I'm not going to lie. It's already so big. And I saw the plus. And I'm like, it's like carrying a tablet with me. I'm going to have to stick it down my pants. Like,
stick it down.
Not just the pocket, stick it in my pants. So, update. I'll give further updates on all the technology news about the 6 and how well I actually like it. And for those of you who do not have one, if you should invest in one.
Have you learned any of the new apps on it yet? Have you gone through and just like played with it yet?
No, because I had to go straight to class.
Oh, that'll be fun. You'll have to tell us about that.
Although, could just help me tonight. I mean, I'm seeing you tonight.
We'll figure all the little things out, analyze it,
and then we'll report back to you.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Exactly.
That's easy.
Solid plan.
All right. Well, that wraps up entertainment and my technology news. And we're going to cut to a quick commercial break.
Yes.
Sound about good?
A little commercial break. You're listening to Day at the Bay. I am Ruby Joe.
And I am Harper Clementine. And we will be right back
on radio.dominican.edu.
Hey guys, Harley D here with your 3-minute break. 3 minutes of the wildest, weirdest, wackiest news to get your mind off your day. Let's get it started. Eva Lenfest of Maine made an almost life-ending mistake last week while driving. The 92-year-old woman mistakenly took a boat launch ramp for a road. Officials said that both the ramp and the surface of the water were covered in a layer of leaves. And Lenfest later said she had thought she was driving on the road. There was also heavy rain that morning, which further decreased visibility. Two men working in the harbor were able to get to the car in a rubber dinghy and pull Lenfest out. She was taken to the hospital, but is reportedly doing fine. A 37-pound house cat in Southern California has drawn national attention for his extreme size. The cat, aptly named Biggie, has been adopted by a Riverside cat hospital after its owners expressed that they could not afford the cat's high vet bills. The owner had initially brought the cat to the hospital after concerns the cat had not made a bowel movement. According to the hospital, Biggie is suffering from severe constipation that could require surgery. Veterinarians are planning to place Biggie on a weight reduction program. The hospital is asking for donations since Biggie's costs have gone up. To donate, visit GoFundMe.com/Biggie. 58-year-old Maria Montanez Colon was arrested this past week for abusing the 911 system in Florida. She allegedly called police with a bogus story that she had given her late husband's convertible to his son while she was drunk and she wanted the car back. When the officer arrived, she tried to have sex with him. Officer Justin DeVolt of the Punta Gorda Police Department arrived at the house and Montanez Colon allegedly fondled him. She allegedly grabbed the cop's arm and tried to rub her hands across his chest. So he told her that her behavior was inappropriate. She replied, "I know, I'm bad." The officer left, but returned a short time later with another officer when the suspect called 911 again. Montanez Colon was immediately booked into Charlotte County Jail. A 39-year-old woman in southwestern Michigan was arrested early Sunday morning at the Van Buren County Jail. She had apparently mistaken the jail parking lot for the Paw Paw Bar where she was picking up her boyfriend. The county police spotted the woman backing into the parking lot around 2 a.m. They smelled alcohol and noticed she appeared intoxicated. A breath test showed she was more than twice the legal limit. I'm Harley D. signing off. This is radio.dominican.edu.
Do I imagine it, or do I see a stare? Is there still longing there? Oh, I hate myself and I feel crazy. Such a classic tale. Current girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, I'm trying to be cool. I'm being paranoid. Am I seeing things? Am I just insecure? I want to believe it's just you and me. Sometimes
if you can tell, but I hope she smells my perfume. I had it well, hope you can tell, but I hope she smells my perfume. Fill the room when she's in it with you. Please don't forget me. Do I imagine it or catch these moments? I know you got history, but I'm your girlfriend. Now I'm your girlfriend, trying to be cool. I hope I'm paranoid, that I'm just seeing things, that I'm just insecure. I want to be. Just you and me. Sometimes it feels like there's three of us in here, baby. So I wait for you to call, and I try to act natural. Have you been thinking about her, about me? And while I
back on, we're back on.
Oh, oh,
you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. I'm Ruby Joe.
And I'm Britney Spears. Just kidding. I'm Harper Clementine, and you're listening to Good Day from the Bay only on radio.dominican.edu.
Woo, we are back, and we're trying to get into some sports segments now.
Yes, we are.
So, reporting from Kirkland, Washington.
Oh, where my boyfriend's from.
Yeah, there
How
you
sweet.
Go. A January trial date has been set for the U.S. national soccer team goalkeeper Hope Solo.
Ugh.
On a misdemeanor domestic violence charges crime. The Seattle Times reports that Kirkland court judge Michael Lambeau set Solo's next court hearing for January 6th with the trial to begin on January 20th. So next year, technically.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, the date was set during a brief hearing that Solo attended on Tuesday. Solo is charged with two counts of fourth degree domestic violence assault stemming from June 21st. Altercation with her sister and 17-year-old nephew at a family gathering. She has pleaded not guilty.
Yeah, right.
Right?
What a weirdo.
This trial has been going on for forever, but what I think is funny is her trial is in January, and come that summer, next summer, is the World Cup for the women's.
Is it really?
Yeah, so her own teammate's trying to get her off the team, basically, so she
it's
won't play.
It's an opportunity.
Yeah, so she won't play.
Makes
so.
Sense.
We'll see how these things go after the trial, if she'll be participating in the Women's World Cup or not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
I put my money on no.
You know, got to stay optimistic for her.
All right.
Yeah.
That's a funny joke.
Yes. funny. All right. Next, in Conroe, Texas, Adrian Peterson took a survival hit on Tuesday. No jail time, no felony conviction, no ugly trial date played out for this mess. But calculating the damage to his NFL career due to his child abuse charges. That trial is underway, and the resolution is more complicated than Western Commissioner Roger Goodell allows him to play football ever again.
Oh my.
Yeah.
What exactly was Adrian Peterson charged with? Like,
he was charged with child abuse.
Do you know who? It was like a nephew?
Yeah. His 4-year-old son.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely horrible.
The plea accomplished what his legal team has set up to obtain almost 2 months ago, with Peterson avoiding a felony conviction. He was largely unscathed legally in the process, saved about $4,000 fine, 80 hours of community service, and two-year defer finding of guilt that will be wiped off the books for if Peterson avoids the legal issues. So all of that just wiped off.
What is up with all the violence in athletes? They're giving us athletes a bad name.
Yeah.
It's like not like the worst kind of thing, like a reputation of being aggressive and violent and like abusing people.
Because like athletes are seen as like strong and like confident and all that. But
it's not what people see. It's like, why are these athletes like steroids?
Steroids, you know, that's
Hope
one.
Solo. Have you seen her body?
Yeah, I don't know if she's on steroids, though.
I think she's on steroids. She's pretty broad.
Yeah, but have you seen, like, how much work they do?
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, it's not like she has a cute little figure like Alex Morgan or something.
Yeah, she also has been playing, you know, a lot longer. Like, she's more of an Abby Wambach build.
I'm just saying.
Some of us are actually built bigger.
No, I'm saying because Abby Wambach, I mean, she still has like a girly built-ness to her, you know? Like, she's not like Hope Solo's broad shoulders, six pack, no hips, very square in the hips. Like, she's very boxy. And I mean, I'm not saying that it's like, it could all come steroids, but steroids definitely could. I mean, it alters your appearance.
It does, and it could come up.
I mean,
that's
she
very
could just
good,
be born like that.
Which, you know, born as that muscular one size figure of a person.
Square.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I feel like all girls, I mean, Abby Wambach has a little.
Well, she lost a lot
of
weight.
She has a little hourglass to her. Like, I mean, doesn't matter how much weight she put on or would lose. I mean, she'd still have that little, like, woman's edge, I feel like.
And there's a lot of, like, very feminine girls on the U.S. soccer team now with all the pictures that they take.
Yeah, like Alex Morgan.
Alex Morgan.
I don't know, fun fact.
Yeah.
So, I have a best friend from high school, and her older sister, Molly, was in a wedding with someone she went to high school with, and one of the bridesmaids with Molly was Alex Morgan.
Oh.
I guess they like run in the same group of friends.
That's really cool.
I was like, what the heck? I was going through the pictures of the wedding. And do you have watched Real Housewives of Orange County?
Yes, I have.
You remember Gina Keo?
I haven't seen it.
Colton and Shane from a long time ago?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so the daughter, Kara, was the one who got married. And Molly and Kara went to high school together. And I don't know how the heck Kara met Alex Morgan, but I'm going through the wedding pictures like, oh, how cute. What a romantic wedding. I'm like, this girl's gorgeous. Like, didn't even know who she was. Clicked on her profile and it said she
Alex
has like
Morgan.
Like 15,000 followers. I'm like, who the heck are you? And then I go through and it's like Alex Morgan, professional soccer player. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. She's like, big time now. Like, she took over. Like, she's the new Mia Hamm, I think.
And she, well, because she's hot and she's athletic and people kind of want to know how you can balance both. Like us,
like, yeah, like us,
like, totally.
Sure.
I mean, like, we're just so, like, me and my sweaty tennis clothes right now, my hair slicked back with all the grease. I'm just so desirable.
Oh, tell us what you're gonna do with your hair, by the way, desirable one.
Okay, so me not being a natural blonde but being blonde for like the last 6 years of my life, I've decided to go for change
for the winter season.
Yeah, so I have decided to turn my blonde Goldilocks into red.
Boom.
Ginger babe.
Red.
Looking to be a ginger babe. I was hoping to go like deep red, like Ariel with
red, with
like a brown twist. But
that's a little too intense.
Due to my very white hair, it would stain my hair, and to be blonde ever again in my whole life, my hair would have to fall out.
Yeah.
So I figured the risk versus reward, it was not really worth it. So strawberry blonde will be coming at ya. Spring 2015.
There you go.
I mean, because by the time it's like done and said and I've moved into this new person. Yeah. But do you want to show what you're doing?
Yeah. Because of my dear Harper Clementine's idea, I decided to go dark with my hair. I've never touched my hair color in my entire
life. Natural toe head.
Yeah. Never touched my hair in my entire life. And so now, because she's switching it up, I decided I'm going to go darker. I'm going to make my hair darker. I'm going to go for it's called blonde. I've actually looked at it. It's like a brown blonde hair, and that's the new color.
I like it. Yeah. So stay tuned.
Yeah. There we go.
Stay tuned. Right before my sister, my other half, she leaves for Ireland, she will be doing this.
I will.
It'll be hot. It'll look like Gisele Bundchen, whatever her name is. Tom Brady's wife.
Well,
speaking of sports,
back on topic. Two high school runners in Minnesota have been disqualified in a state girls' cross country meet for helping an opponent who fell. Senior Kaylee Kaminsky of Esco and junior Turner Winter of Jansville forfeited the race last weekend after assisting Jackson County Central freshman Jessica Krisoff cross the finish line. All three were disqualified due to the high school league rule prohibiting assistance of another runner. How crazy is that? They weren't allowed to like help each other.
We are taught to be like true sportsmanship people.
Yeah, and they're telling her
help
no
your
sportsmanship,
teammates and
basically.
Have sportsmanship, and that's basically like me seeing you fall and being like, we'll see you later.
Yeah, it's just like adios, and it's like a state run. Maybe they'll never be able to do it again, and helping them across, they get disqualified for it.
Oh,
how sad.
I just, I just can't put Gilgal. Because if you fell, I'd be like, oh, Ruby Joe.
And then I would come over and I would like throw you over my shoulders and be like, we're finishing this together.
I would just lay there with you and be like, why did the good go young?
Which is sad. Why even finish if we're going to be disqualified?
I'd just sit there and be like, can I get a snack?
Yeah, can I?
I'm a little tired. Scoot me.
Can you get the golf cart and bring me across?
Gatorade, pronto.
Scoot me a little ice also.
A little ice. A little massage. Some icy hot.
Scoot me, please help me out.
That's really messed up, but whatever.
But I mean, at least they helped each other out, you know?
And at least...
Good for them.
At least we're not in that position.
Exactly. At least we're not in that position.
You gotta always look for that little glimmer of hope. So at least it wasn't
us. The silver lining
to it all. But kind of shifting gears into something a little bit different in our classic couponing segment. Being broke ain't a joke. I mean,
it ain't a joke.
We've hit the rock bottom and we've hit, I mean, rock top. What do you call it? Rock top? Sky top? Cloud top?
We've hit the top.
Basically, we've hit the top. We've hit the bottom. So I have for you 5 tips on how to save money. I feel like it really helps, especially when it comes to couponing and being, you got to be pretty smart and witty when it comes to couponing with your math skills. And I don't have a math brain.
I'm not, you know, I'm more of a, I can talk, you know, put myself out there, have speech in front of people. But as soon as it comes to taking tests and doing a little math, I'm like,
yeah. And so that's why it crushes my dreams, because my dream one day is to be an extreme couponer. Like, my biggest, like,
go on extreme couponing, be the star of the show and everything.
And my dream is to go to a store and spend about $500 and walk out with $50 in my hand. That's my goal.
Well, I just feel like with that, you just buy a lot of like,
you gotta buy all the cheap stuff. You need the cheap stuff, the stuff you don't need, like the gross, not so good brand names. I mean, there's a lot of like cons to it, but that is my goal one day.
And all right, so let's hear your little tips for us.
First things first.
You're the realist.
I'm gonna drop down and let the whole world feel it.
And then we listen to your couponing tips.
Because we're not in the murder business.
After that.
And we're not in the murder business. So I'm going to hold you down with number one. Stick to coupons for things you really use.
Like what do you toilet paper. Shampoo.
Mac and cheese.
Conditioner.
Kraft's mac and cheese. So, you know, the essentials. Don't go buying like 20 things of vitamin D because they're on sale.
You don't need vitamin D.
Go sit in the sun. Like...
Yeah.
That wraps up that. It's kind of self-explanatory.
Whoop. Number two. Dose.
Pick a couple of your favorite coupon sites and hit them regularly. So for me, I have a couponing app called Favado. There's Groupon.
I do Groupon a lot.
Groupon's a really popular one.
Bomb.
There's a lot of little ones on the internet, but I seem to trust those more. So I stick with those two, hit them regularly, get to know what they're like as a system, kind of get a feel for how they work and how to go about it, la-di-da-di-da. Number three, target one manufacturer site of your favorite brand and or brands. So I heard like if you really like there's like baby diapers.
Okay.
If you really like Huggies baby diapers and you're a loyal customer, you can write them a letter or like send them something saying that you love their product so much, like da 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 da. Like do you have any coupons available? And sometimes they'll send you like free samples of stuff, or sometimes they'll give you a shipment of coupons.
There you go. I just helped you out there.
a shipment of coupons so you can save money on your baby's diapers.
Yeah.
But that applies for everything. I mean, whether it's snacks, candy.
So I'm just going to hit up Reese's and be like, Reese's, send me a bunch of your testers for Christmas.
Because you're basically, by doing that, you show that you're a loyal customer.
Yeah.
And so they know that if they give you a little free stuff,
you'll keep being a loyal customer.
Yeah, exactly. Number four on my list is layer coupons with store specials and sales. So a good example of this would be like CVS. When I go to CVS, sometimes once in a blue moon, and it's the best blue moon out there, I'll get a $5 off coupon. And then you'll save those. And then you'll get the one that says like buy one Dove deodorant, get the other one free. Layer your coupons, meaning go buy your stuff and apply your $5 off, but also go get your deodorant and put your deodorant coupon in there too.
I did not think about that.
So like you layer some stores.
I think that's
don't,
the best tip you've told me all day.
I know it's the best tip I've ever heard. But some stores don't do it, so be leery. Some stores will not do that, so you have to be a little cautious, maybe ask beforehand. But for the most part, most stores will let you layer your coupons.
Well, thank you very much.
Whoa.
We have one more.
Five. It's very similar to number three. Five is visit the store sites. Store sites tend to list what's going on, what specials they have, online promotions. So like I know Joann's Fabrics had a special where if you order things online, you got 50% off your shipment.
Well, that's Hobby Lobby too.
And it's a lot of stores like that. So just make sure you visit store sites that you're going to visit. They'll list you what's on sale, what's going to be on sale.
Even like if you're coupons. Going to like Macaroni Girl, I know you can get like stuff online. For
and
that.
You can print coupons from their website.
Exactly.
I do that with car washes very frequently. So
no, I just wash my car by myself. But you know.
Well, sometimes you got to get that little extra elbow grease.
Little wax.
Little elbow grease in there. Wax on, wax off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that wraps up couponing. And I think that wraps up our show.
Oh, just another show under the belt.
Another day, another dollar.
Another day, another hump day.
Another hump day.
Well, thank you so much for listening to us today.
And this is Harper Clementine. You're listening to Good Day from the Bay.
And this is Ruby Joe. You're listening also to radio.dominican.edu.
Happy hump day.